Father, are in me and I in you, that the world may believe that you sent me, says the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. Much of our modern life is spent battling distractions. We find it hard to focus on one task because we're pulled in 100 different directions, distracted. For example, rarely have we gotten through an entire Mass without someone's cell phone ringing and distracting us. The reason why I get up at 4:30 in the morning to write my homilies is because you are all still asleep and won't call me or text me and distract me. We wish we could be like Henry David Thoreau, the American transcendental philosopher, who spent a whole year at Walden Pond, away from everyone and everything, in order to live deliberately and less distractedly. We'd all love to transcend our distractions. But when I was studying canon law, I learned that not all distractions have to be annoying or avoided. Some can be used artfully and achieve great good. Have you ever heard of a legal distraction called a red herring? A red herring is not a literal fish, but rather a legal device used to distract the jury or the judge from the main point of the argument. Some parents use red herrings all the time with their feuding families. I heard of one mother that was tired of hearing her small children fighting and yelling in the back seat of the car, and she pointed out the window and shouted, "Look, dear!" All the children immediately stopped to look. Even though there were no deer, the children were distracted enough to stop fighting and even forgot the original argument. The family drove off in peace. Some distractions can be useful and help us to get our focus back on track. St. Paul uses a legal distraction, a red herring, in the Acts of the Apostles. He is on trial, being judged by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, knowing very well that the two religious sects vehemently disagreed on the question of the resurrection of the dead. St. Paul shrewdly says to them, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees. I am on trial for hope in the resurrection of the dead." When he said that, a huge argument erupted between the two religious groups, and Paul was rescued from their midst. Paul was basically shouting like that mother chauffeuring her car of crazy kids, "Look, dear, look, the resurrection of the dead," and distracted the Jewish leaders from Paul's case. Paul used a legal distraction, a red herring, as it's called, deliberately to achieve a great good, namely his escape. Not all distractions are bad. My friends, may I suggest to you how you can start to see distractions as helpful instead of harmful? When people tell me they are distracted in prayer, they can't keep their focus while reciting the rosary, for instance, I tell them to make the distraction the content of their contemplation. Don't stop thinking about what distracts you, but tell God what distracts you, and invite the distraction to be part of your prayer, your conversation with God. Some parents see their children's need for attention as an annoying distraction. "I wish this kid would leave me alone." But wise parents see it as a golden opportunity to teach life lessons and spend precious time together. We may think that an illness or a car accident or a financial setback or marriage disputes are distractions to the tranquil life we are trying to live. But maybe they are not accidental distractions at all, but as C.S. Lewis said, the megaphones God uses to rouse a deaf world. God finally gets our full attention through so-called distractions. Man uses distractions to lead us away from the main point, but God uses them to bring us back to the main point, namely his love for us. If we could reach the heights of holiness of the saints, we would realize that every moment is under the microscope of God's perfect providence. There never were anything called distractions at all. But all is time and space is lovingly and wisely, slowly and gently, being orchestrated toward its final fulfillment in Christ. That's why at the Easter Vigil Mass, the priest blesses the burning Easter candle, dispelling the darkness of all distractions, saying, "Christ, yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, all time belongs to him, and all ages. To him be glory and power through every age and forever. Amen." In God, there is no darkness or distractions, only light and truth. Praised be Jesus Christ.